What is up, North Elevation Church? Wow, that was horrible. Come on. You're supposed to motivate me, not the opposite way around. Good morning, North Elevation Church. Thank you. Thank you. We're just going to jump right into it. So today we're doing our second part of our life lessons sermon. Today's sermon title is called Life Hacks. Now, if you don't know what a life hack is, here's a definition for it. It's a strategy or technique adopted in order to manage one's time and daily activities in a more efficient way. That sounds very formal. You know what a life hack is. It's one of those cool tricks that you see online that you go, oh my gosh, if I'd only known that I could flip my tin upside down, put tacos in it, and create taco shells, I would have never bought this $75 taco shell maker thingy. I could have just done this. So to kind of give you an understanding of what life hacks are and some of them that you can see out there, I'm gonna just show you a couple of them. If you are one of those people that like to clean your vehicle, but you can never get in those little crevice areas, use children's slime. Children's slime can be put into those little kind of vent areas and pull out all the dirt and the gunk and the yuck. And if you have a small child, like I do, and you have a car seat, and you look in the little cup holder area, and you wonder what kind of organism is growing in there, this will take that out. Here's another one. I actually use this at work. If you take those paper clamps, you can put them on the side of your desk and kind of manage your wires. Because I do a lot of video stuff, I have tons of chargers and wires. This is just a very simple life hack. Here's another one. If you're a child and you're failing math, let's say, and your parents are like, hey, you have to write, I will never fail math again 100 times, tape 4 pins together, and it will quintuple, quadruple, it will 4 times make everything faster. Actually, you'll get done 25% quicker, which you would have known had you passed math. And then the last one, now it's summertime is coming around. I know a lot of you got littles, and so this is an easy life hack. You can go and take your kids' favorite juices, put it in an little ice tray, put it in there with toothpicks and stuff like that. It's a beautiful, cute little summer treat. And mom, since you're going to be home with the kids by themselves, there's your version right there. So those are life hacks that you can find online anywhere. But what we're going to be talking about today are life hacks for actual life. I have 5 things I want to talk to you about. And let me give you a preface behind it. When I graduated high school, now this sermon is not just for those that are graduating. This sermon works for all of us in here. But I remember when I graduated high school and I started first part of my life on my own, I was horrible at it. I was really bad at life. I failed college. I lost my jobs. I couldn't keep. I had no understanding and no vision and no know-how of where to go. And not that if somebody had told me these, would I have been successful, but at least I would have had a head start. So we're going to kind of go through some of these things that seniors, graduates, and those that are just in life, these are the types of things that we can do in our life to remind us of how to move forward. So number one, you're going to have to work hard. I'm going to talk to just my seniors in high school real quick. Here's the deal. You're going to have to get up early in the mornings, and you are going to have to do stuff. If you're going into college, you're going to have to show up for classes. If you're going into the workforce, your boss does not care if you show up, when you show up late, what excuse you have. They don't care. Now, your mom and dad, and I will preach to myself because my sister-in-law back there will tell you I've babied my child throughout most of his life, and that's okay. That's all right. He wakes up in the morning. We're like, okay, can you kind of sort of maybe go do something? And he kind of sort of sometimes gets up and does it. But in life, in real life, that doesn't always work that way. We have to start working on things when we want to succeed. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are just busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort thou, our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. This church is built on hard work. Seniors, when you look around this room, you can look at people who have worked their entire lives to put them in the places where they're at right now. It didn't just happen. It didn't just one day we woke up and they said, hey, look, here's a building. Here's a pastor. Here's a youth group. Here's a worship band. Go make things happen. It didn't turn out that way because people had to work hard to create it. Sorry, John. This church is built on hard work. Small businesses are built on hard work. Degrees are built on hard work. Marriages are built on hard work. Friendships are built on hard work. If you are not willing to work for it, you're not willing to earn it. And that's what 2 Thessalonians says. Those that are diligent will eat. Those that aren't, they won't. Can I have my water? Thank you. Look at the size of this thing. This is like somebody engineered this. They had to work hard to make this. Number two. Hard work will lead to failure. And failure is how you grow. I think one of the things that I didn't understand growing up going out into the world was I couldn't accept the fact that I would fail at things. I thought failure was an ending, not realizing failure is the ultimate teacher. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The American poet DJ Khaled said, all I do is win, 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 no matter what. But life isn't always like that. It's actually more like the South Oklahomian poet Carrie Underwood, who said, Jesus, take the wheel. Life is a series of wins and losses, but failure is not an ending. It's the start of a new beginning. If you're a Gen X guy like myself, or maybe even a little bit older, you grew up watching arguably one of the greatest basketball players to walk the face of the earth, a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. Now, just to understand his greatness, because I can probably talk to my son, he'll be like, but LeBron, or what about Luka, and all this stuff. Let me give you a little bit about Michael. He was the NBA Rookie of the Year, 5-time NBA MVP. He's a 6-time NBA championship with a break in between, a 2-time Olympic gold medalist, 6-time NBA Finals MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, Defensive Player of the Year, 14-time All-Star, 3-time MVP of the All-Star Game, a 50th anniversary All-Team. He won 10 scoring titles. He has retired with the NBA's highest scoring average of 30 points per game. He's a Hall of Fame inductee, and he starred in the role of Space Jam. But of all those accomplishments, Michael Jordan was cut from his varsity basketball team. That whole list of accomplishments came after failure, not before. I read a wonderful quote, and I want to share it with you. Michael actually said this. He goes, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. Failure is not an ending. It's a learning curve to a new beginning. Amen. There are those that are graduating from college, and your first job you're going to be so excited about. You're going to walk in thinking, I have spent all this time learning to become this one person, and the first project that your boss has you do, they reject it. And you think, what have I done for the last 4 years, 8 years, 12 years of my life? They don't like anything I'm doing. That's a learning experience. If you continue to look at failure as an ending block, you'll never grow. But if you take failure as a way to learn, you will grow exponentially. Number three, have a vision. There's no quicker road to failure than not having a vision. A vision gives you guidance. A vision gives you goals to succeed. A vision guides you when the world around you becomes complicated or mundane. And a vision will set the pace. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent will surely lead to plenty. But of those who is, also take English class. That's a good one. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Life is about to get big. For those that you are going away to college or starting a trade school, maybe you're entering the workforce, or maybe you're engaged to get married. Maybe it isn't anything like that at all, but instead you're working on a broken marriage. Or you're 20 days sober, working to put the pieces of your life back together. All these tasks can seem overwhelming. Where do I start? How do I do this? Where does it all begin? Take your vision and set up specific, measurable, and attainable goals to succeed. See, goal setting is a powerful process for thinking about your ideal future and for motivating yourself to turn your vision of this future into a reality. The process of setting up goals helps you to choose where you want to go in life by knowing precisely what you want to achieve. You know where you have to concentrate your efforts, and you'll also spot the distractions that can so easily lead you astray. I realized very early in my life that I was walking with no vision. I had to go, my way of figuring it out, I ended up having to go to the military. I needed somebody to yell at me. That really was, at my age, when I graduated high school, I couldn't figure it out. I had no goals, I had no vision, I had no direction I was going. I was just kind of out there. Well, maybe this, or maybe that, or maybe here. And it's okay to change your ideas, and it's okay that if you say, well, my vision is this, and you get into it, and you're working hard for it, and then you realize, oh, but I really like this. And it's okay to change where you're going, but continue to make goals to strive to get where you want to be. It wasn't until after I learned discipline, it wasn't until after I learned what it was like to set goals and a vision, that I could really kind of figure things out. And my life has twisted and turned and gone in different directions, but God has always been with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And when I set out on a goal and I work hard for it, sometimes I fail, but often I succeed. Because I've failed enough times in my life that when I try to do something, I don't do the things that I failed at before because they taught me a lesson. And I work hard to get there, and most of us do the same thing. See, marriage isn't easy. It takes time. There's failures in marriage all the time. When Tiffany and I got married, we had a vision. We had a vision. We were going to walk out of that church. We were going to go to our honeymoon. When we got back, we were going to save money. I wanted to take her to Japan. Japan was one of the places that I spent while I was in the military. It was a beautiful place. I wanted her to see the cherry blossoms. I wanted her to experience the culture. I wanted her to eat sushi that like literally just came out and was flopping around 2 seconds before. I wanted her to experience things that she's never experienced before. That was my vision. That was our goal. That was the direction we went. Until we got pregnant on that honeymoon. And the vision shifted because we no longer had goals of going to Japan. We had goals of a child, a stinky little boy who made us parents. See, life will change. But see, the vision, it really didn't. The vision just took a different path. And that's where number four comes in. Continue to seek God. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you standing where you used to be. In Deuteronomy it says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. And he will be with you. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Tiffany, come up here real quick. So here's something I want you to really focus in on your life, on your job, on your those that are graduating, those are going into the workforce or trade school. When you seek God, when you chase after God, when you try to get more of Him in you, He will always be a step in front of you. Let me show you what I mean. So we're here, we're graduating. It's that time, we're going off to college, or she finally said, "I do." And now we're planning that wedding, we're planning that future. Or work has been difficult and it's been hard, but you've been tasked with a new position, which comes with new finances and new responsibilities. And through all of it, you're seeking God in the midst of it all. And as you look at that vision in front of you and you're like, "Lord, I want to take these steps closer." Ready, Tiff? 1, 2, 3, go. When you step, God moves forward. Now you may think, "Well, will he not let me close the gap on him?" But again, ready? 1, 2, 3, step forward. See, the more I seek God, the more he goes in front of me. The more he's already won battles that I don't have to fight. And before I know it, I realized something. Because when I sought out to seek God, I was looking to be here. But now I'm here. And every single time, 1, 2, 3, step. You're about to run out of room. Every time a new challenge comes into my life, or every time a new opportunity comes and I seek God in the midst of it, and I step closer and I step further into it, what His destiny is for my life, I can turn around and look and see how far I've come. Because here's the thing, He's not going to let you catch up to Him until the day He stops and says, "Well done, good and faithful one." Because at that point, you don't have to learn anymore. At that point, you don't have to catch up anymore, because you don't have to be caught, you're being carried. And you can look back on your life and you can see of all the times that you sat there and you said, "God, I'm right here. I need you more in my life. I need more of you. I need more of you." And you took a step forward and you're like, "But God, where are you?" And he says, "I'm already here. But I'm also up there. And I was back there. And I'm everywhere, because I'm not controlled by time. And I'm not controlled by space. And I'm not controlled by matter. I am omnipotent. I am everywhere at every moment. And when you needed me when you were 12 years old and when you needed me at 35, I was there." And so every step in our life that we take to become closer to God, God moves forward. And he just beckons us. Have you ever seen a child, newborn child? it's great because parents kind of hold their fingers for a while and they just walk and they do their little thing. But after a while, the parent sits there and says, come on, come on. And the child takes a couple of steps and you freak out and you film it and you put it on Instagram and everybody freaks out because they took those first steps. But if we all just took first steps and stopped, it would make no sense, would it? And then become second steps and tenth steps. And if you were here early enough this morning, you could have seen my five-year-old doing laps in here because we were trying to drain her before the children's ministry had to take care of her. But that's what we should be like, shouldn't we? Just doing laps. Always seeking God in everything. I've got one more point. You want to stay up here with me? Okay, go. Extroverted, introverted. And I'm the last one. Know your worth. I don't care if you're 15 or 55. Understand and know your worth. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. See, babies, they don't know their worth by looking at their faults or their feelings or their accomplishments, because they have none. They can't measure their worth by achievements or tasks they've completed. They can't examine their worth by income or status. But babies learn their worth right away, not by looking at themselves, but by looking at the one that holds them. See, a child can really only see from about an arm's length. So the rest of the world is just a blur around them. So the first thing they see is a mother or a father holding them. Who's a good baby? Who's a good baby? And that sounds silly, but their worth is right here. Daddy loves you. So he's graduating now. See, I get to be up here, so I get to talk about my kid. He's graduating. And I remember holding it in my arms and wondering why God would give me this. Because I didn't deserve it. And really, honestly, none of us do. And at the time, you know, like I told you before, we had this vision of living our life and going and doing all these amazing things, and all of a sudden God was just like, yeah, but here's a child. And it was like, God, you changed everything. I had these wonderful plans for my life, Lord, and you ruined them all. Gift I could have ever gotten. And I remember holding in my arms, you know, he's got these big, huge blue eyes, and he's just staring back at me, and I can't stop loving him. I can't stop telling him how much I love him. I can't stop looking at him. I mean, it would be uncomfortable if you and I sat in a room together and I just stared at you for an hour. It would be very, very uncomfortable for both of us. But here I am holding this small child, staring at his face and just telling him how much I love him. He doesn't even speak English. Okay, he don't know any better other than the fact that I can't stop kissing him. I can't stop holding him. I can't stop pouring everything that's in my heart into him. And And if that's what a father's love is like to a son, can you imagine what our heavenly Father's love is like to each and every one of us? Know your worth. Because God took his son and he placed him on a cross on Calvary's hill so that I could spend eternity with him. So that I would not spend a moment without him. And here's the thing. For those of you that are going into this workforce, or those of you that are going away to college, or those of you that are doing the trade school thing, or those of you who are dealing with something in your life, you're dealing with a hardship in your marriage, you're dealing with an addiction, you're dealing, whatever you're dealing with, know you are valuable. And whatever you're going through, you are worth it. You are worth it. Work hard. Don't be afraid to fail. Set visions and goals for your life, whether that be through school or marriage or your job. Seek God in everything you do. And even when you feel like you're taking a step forward, know that God wants you to move again. And most importantly, know your worth. Understand what it means to be priceless, because that's what you are to God. Can you pray with me? If you're someone who's never taken Jesus into your heart, or said, Lord, I feel you, but I don't know how to accept you. I want to give you this opportunity right now. I want you to just take this moment to say, Jesus, yes, I do want you and need you in my life. I do desire you to be here. So just pray with me if that's you. Father, I thank you that you're coming into my heart, that I accept you, that I open up the door, and I'm letting you in. God, I don't know what this relationship will do, and I'm nervous and scared, but I'm excited, and I'm frightened, and I'm overjoyed. God, would you lead me? Will you move in me? Will you open up my eyes to see you in everything I do? Jesus, take my heart. In your name we pray, amen. North Elevation Church, we are going to call up the graduates here in a second. But because I get to play that whole associate pastor's role, here's the deal. I get to volunteer Pastor Corey and Rochelle for everything. You know why? Because it would be rude if they yelled out in the middle of the sermon and said, no. If you're questioning your worth, if you question your value, talk to someone in this ministry. Because it's very easy for us to forget how precious we are because of all the dumb things that we do. And how many times we trip, and how many times we stumble, and how many times we fail. But if your family is running into a problem of evaluating self-worth, I ask you to reach out to Pastor Corey and Rochelle. Now, I said this last week. Some of you did, None of you asked Pastor Rochelle for that lasagna. So if nobody does it this time, I'm going to ask Pastor Rochelle for that lasagna. Y'all can continue to have coffee with them. Tiffany, want to come forward? Do you have the list for seniors? Okay. I'm coming. I'll go. Take it away.
Okay, so if our seniors will come join us here at the front.
Our graduates,
I'm sorry, because we do have a college graduate. And there's my kid.
What's up, son?
All right, so we have a little something for each one of you, and so this is Jordan, and I've known her since before she was born. She's my niece, and so I've watched her grow into a young woman that does have goals and ambitions. And I'm very proud of her. And this is Jaden. I have not known her since birth, but I have known her since she was probably in the 7th or 8th grade. And she's been a joy to be in our youth group. And I'm excited to see where God leads you as well. And Savannah, same thing. Known her since she was probably about 12, and when she came into Chris and Letitia's life, and watching her grow has been a pleasure, and seeing her change. And then we have, she'll go last. Yeah. And then this is Isaac. I've also known him since birth.
Yeah.
Probably because at one point he was in my belly in his life, and very, very proud of my son, and excited to see where God takes you and where you'll let God take you in your life. And then we have Miss Alex, who we've known since she was about 12, and now she is graduating with her master's degree. And then I'll let Pastor Colin talk.
So let me just kind of, we have just a few minutes, so let me just kind of talk over each of the seniors real quick. I got plenty of time. That's because I shortened that sermon. Ba-pow! So Jaden walked into our lives. All these kids walked into our lives. Two of them forcibly, two of them we adopted. Jaden came in, and what a blessing she was. Actually, Tammy and Doug introduced us to Jaden, and she became part of our life. And when I say part of our life, I don't mean just on Wednesday nights. I mean, like, literally part of our life. She's one of our kids. And her talents, if y'all don't see them on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday afternoons when she plays in the worship band, or on any time that she goes and does, you know, any of her little, you know, music type of things, this girl is anointed and blessed, and I can't wait to see musically what she's going to do in her life. But also, she has grown as a young woman. That when she came in, she was a little bit out there. She wasn't 100% sure which direction. She didn't have a complete vision. But man, what a blessing you have been in our lives. Now, Savannah came into our lives. Now, Savannah came into our lives, and we tried to do this whole thing where they were like, I don't know. Savannah was like, well, how old were you? 12? Okay, so when you came at 12, Isaac and Savannah are the same age, and we're like, match made in heaven, here we go. And so, you know, we're always like, Savannah and Isaac.
And
like, Isaac was just like, I still like playing with Legos. So that never really, and that was last week. But Savannah has grown. We have walked through a lot with Savannah. Her heart is huge. Her heart for her little sister, you couldn't ask for someone who has more passion for her little sister. And I know that Chris and Letitia have been ultimately blessed with her. And she's taken some steps forward, and she's taken some steps to the side, but she's always taking steps and always moving on. I'm so proud of you for what you have done with your life and where you're going to be going. And I can't wait to see it. And then there's Jordan. So, so you were my daughter before I had Felicity. And I know how many nights we stayed up and we talked and talked and talked about life. And every day I thank God that I have you, because as much as you belong to your mom, she kind of owes me for you being here. You unlocked a part of my heart I didn't know I had. A part that allows me to love Felicity as much as I do. Because loving a son is sometimes easy. Loving a daughter is complicated. And Jordan, you blessed me with that. And I love you so very much. And if there's anybody that is going to conquer this world, it is going to be you. And I mean that both in the military sense and in the life sense. Son, you made me a dad. I mean, I technically made me a dad, but you were there. You were the product of that. Why are you laughing so much at that? It's uncomfortable for all of us. I've told you this before. You're my greatest creation. When I knew what the world was supposed to be, God put you. There have been times where I want to body slam you. And there are times where I want to pick you up and hold you in my arms and never let go. And I love you so much. And I'm so proud. So proud of the man that you've become. I'm so proud of how you treat your little sister. We all know what a handful she is. And you are sometimes the calming force behind her. Sometimes you're also the antagonizer, but I love you, and I'm proud of the man you are. No, it's okay. You can cry. And then Alex. Now, for those of you who don't know, Alex... I mean, I didn't technically adopt her because the court system wouldn't let me, but if they would have, I would have. Now, here's the crazy thing. You know it's God sent when your father actually teaches your adopto daughter way before I even met her. And in one day, we were 7th or 8th grade, we're sitting there and we're talking, and you have no, I can't remember how it came across, but you were just like, Gregory. Like, in Mr. Gregory? And I'm like, well, there's definitely a Mr. Gregory. I mean, obviously. And she's like, did he go to the school? Did he do this type of stuff? My dad was her counselor in fifth and sixth grade. And then she left there, and I got a hold of her. So you've had, like, more experience with Gregory's than most of these people in here have. I have watched you grow in our youth ministry. I've watched you leave this country to live in France, to speak a language that there's, you have immersed yourself in all of that. You have grown to become this crazy, amazing woman, and you're about to walk out and figure out a new direction in life. I am so proud of you. From the days of you holding your fists up to your hand like this, because your cheeks got so red because you were embarrassed, because a boy that came up to hear to you, you had a crush on. Where about 90% of the boys that you like are coming up to that right there. To this amazing woman who is about to just tear down the walls, take over. I'm so proud of you. Shatami Mafali. Our graduates. So we're going to pray over them, and then we are going to end service, and you can come up here and say hello to them, give them hugs, congratulate them, wish them well, because this is our future. And if this is our future, this is the representation of our future, we got a good future coming to us. Also remember what your parents have done for you so that you change our diapers and wipe our chins when we are older, okay? Or next week, possibly, very possibly. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these young men and women. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that they have gotten to this place in their life. And God, we're excited to see where you place them next. We're excited to see what your vision for them is, the goals that they reach for, the hard work that they'll go through, the failures that, God, that they will experience, that they will grow from. But God, in their heart, always keep them seeking you and let them remember their worth and their value. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I did the whole sermon thing, kind of brought it back to you. Yeah, it's pretty good. If you're a guest with us, we have a connection card that if you would like to fill out, please only fill out what you feel comfortable. Give it to the Connection Center on the way back. If not, you are dismissed. God bless you.